Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Just want to encourage us with a couple of things and something the Lord had laid on my heart. In Philippians chapter 1 and verse 23, the Apostle Paul talks about being with the Lord. And that made me think about how when you love someone, that you want to be with them in their presence. And it says, "For I am hard pressed between the two, having a desire to depart to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to remain in the flesh is more needful for you. And I'm being confident of this, I know that I shall remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy of faith, and that your rejoicing for me may be more abundant in Jesus Christ by coming to you again." And here he was hard pressed because he loved the saints, so he wanted to be with them, but also he wanted to be with the Lord, which is far better. It made me think of, you know, as I said, when you love someone, you always want to be in their presence. I remember, you know, when I was courting my wife, I didn't have a lot of money. Yeah, I was a college student. And so, you know, every Friday I would want to, she lived in the city, I lived in Long Island. And so it was always a train ride. But I used to always make sure I had enough money to get, you know, to get to the city in order for us to hang out on Friday and stuff like that. And it just made me think of, I used to always look forward to having that time and being, having that time with her. And this is how the Lord feels about us. If we look at a couple instances where the Lord was desiring to be with others, and Luke 23 is one, and I think we'll read from verse 39, and it says, "Then one of the criminals who were hanged blasphemed him, saying, 'If you are Christ, save yourself and us.' But the other answering rebuked him, saying, 'Do you not even fear God, seeing you are under the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man has done nothing wrong.' And then he said to Jesus, 'Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom.' And Jesus said unto him, 'Surely I say unto you, today you will be with me in paradise.'" And here we see the qualifications of the Lord wanting to be with us. It's not anything that we could have done. This guy was a criminal, right? He was somebody who was blaspheming him before. And, you know, he was somebody who wasn't worthy of the Lord wanting to be with him. But we see here that he confessed the Lord Jesus Christ. It says, he said, "Remember me when you come into your kingdom." And this is a beautiful thing, is that, you know, it's instantaneously that you can become from a criminal to someone the Lord wants to be with. And here we see that the qualification is not that you have to be baptized, or you have to be a part of some gathering, or you have to, you know, there's people who put different stipulations of where they could accept you, right? There's some people who won't accept you unless you're from a certain sect or a certain gathering or a certain race or something of that nature. But we see the Lord Jesus Christ, you know, just this person, this thief on the cross, that the Lord was able to receive him. And what a beautiful statement to know that it's instantaneous. He said, "Today." You know, it's not something where you have to learn. Some people say, "Well, you're not learned enough in the scriptures, or you need to know more of this," or it's not anything. This guy didn't know any scripture, right? All he knew was the Lord Jesus Christ was God. And he knew that he had a hope, that he already had a hope. He said that, "Remember me when you come into your kingdom." And he believed that the Lord Jesus Christ was coming again and he would reign as king. He believed that, and he believed that in his heart. And the Lord knew that. And he said, "Today you will be with me in paradise." So one thing is that today is instant. To be with me, there's no better company than to be with the Lord Jesus Christ, right? And paradise. This was a free trip to paradise, right? I mean, you know how many people, they spend thousands of dollars to go to visit paradise, right? Or what they view as paradise, right? If you try to go book a trip to the Caribbean or Hawaii, wherever you feel is paradise, I mean, you're talking about tens and thousands of dollars maybe, right? But we don't, as Christians, we don't look at that, right? We could look and say that one day we will be with the Lord and we will be in paradise with him. And what a beautiful thought. But he says the thief also was a person who on this cross, he was also rebuking the person who was next to him. It says, do you not even fear God, seeing you are under the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong. And this is another thing I wanted to highlight what the thief did. Is that he knew the judgment that he was getting there on that cross, that he was worthy of it. He says, you know, I'm worthy of it. And none of us are worthy of being in the Lord's presence. None of us are worthy to be with the Lord in paradise, right? But, you know, he's saying here that he was deserving of this, but he's saying this man has done nothing wrong. And this is what we have to also realize, that the Lord Jesus Christ did nothing wrong. He went to that cruel cross. He went to that death, knowing that without him doing that, that we wouldn't be able to be with him. And this is an encouraging thought. So this is just want to lay the foundation that in order for us to be with the Lord, we don't have to do anything but believe on him. And he loves us. He wants to be with us. And so there's no stipulations put on it. The only stipulation that's put in it is that you have to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's, we see that in Romans chapter 10 and verse 9 and 10. If you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you believe that in your heart, you shall be saved. All right, let's go to another one where the Lord Jesus Christ said that he wanted to be with us. It's John chapter 14. John chapter 14 and verse 1. And it says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. And Thomas said unto him, Lord, we do not know where you are going, and how can we know the way? And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one cometh unto the Father except through me. And here we see an encouragement for us, because let's be honest, as we walk through this world, our hearts are troubled. We do get discouraged. And he starts off this chapter and says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. And I believe that's the cure for trouble in our hearts sometimes. It's believing in God. It's believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's believing that what he has done for us. And I think if you have that belief in your heart, you will see that troubles will cease to affect you the way it affects you, knowing that he has overcome this world. And it says, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go and prepare a place for you. When you love someone, you want to prepare a place for them. You don't want them just to come over. I mean, I used to keep my place messy. But every time my wife said she was coming over, right? I used to make sure I tell my sisters, let's clean up the house. Let's, you know, keep everything, because you want to have a nice place for them, right? And this is what the Lord Jesus Christ is doing. He's preparing a place for us. He loves us so much. It's not that he just wants to be with us, but he's preparing a place for us. And in my Father's house are many mansions. And we know how he feels about his Father's house, right? Because in his Father's house here on this scene, he cared so much about it that when he saw people desecrating it and he saw people doing things that he didn't like, he went in and he drove them out. So he's not just giving us any place, but he says in my Father's house, he's taking a place that is dear to his heart. And it says many mansions, you know, the word mansion here means a dwelling place or a place where you can stay, right? And so he's giving us not only his best place, which is his Father's house, but he's giving a wonderful place for us to stay. And he says, most assuredly, if it were not so, I would have told you, I go on to prepare a place for you. And I want you to put your name in a place for you, because it's personal, right? It's that for each and every one of us, he didn't say just for all you, but it's for you. Is that it's personal. As you read it, is that he loves us so much personally that he's preparing a place for each and every one of us. And it says, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. And that's another promise, that he will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And that's what he wants. The Lord loves us so much that he's yearning, he's desiring to be with us. He wants to prepare a place for us. He hasn't put any stipulations, as we read before. It's not any family you were born into. It hasn't how much scriptures you know, how much you pray. You know, people try to put spirituality as this type of, you know, you have to reach certain levels. The Lord Jesus Christ, when we accept him as our Lord and Savior, he loves us so much that he wants to be with us. And I think it should also give us a different perspective when a saint dies, when somebody passed away who knows the Lord. That's the Lord's desire, right? That's the Lord's prayer being answered, that he wants to be with them, that his desire is always to be with us. And that's a beautiful thing. And so he's going to prepare a place for us, the best place for us. And he's making a promise saying that he's going to come again. And I think that should give us encouragement too, is that, you know, as we walk through this life, right? I mean, we're going to get discouraged. We're going to be maybe mistreated. We're going to be, you know, who knows, talked about, or we're going to be, you know, ostracized for some manner. But we know that we have a God who loves us and he wants to be with us no matter what anybody says, right? And you know what? There's some Christians who are homeless, right? You know what I'm saying? You know, there's some Christians who are you know, being driven from their home. We think of places like Sudan or Middle East or places where Christians are being driven out from their homes. But they can always take heart that they're going to have a home in heaven, right? That he's preparing a home for them. He's saying that when you be with me, all these troubles that you have, you know what I'm saying, you know, that it will melt away, right? When we see our Savior. And that's why he starts off with, let not your heart be troubled. You know, in this world, you're going to have trouble. He said that. But he has overcome this world. And it says that, how do we get to this place, right? And he says, where I go, you know, and the way you know. But Thomas says, well, how do we know the way? And he tells them straight forward, which is the way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And so if you want to know how to be with the Lord, there's only one way. As we saw in the other scripture, is that it's believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord Jesus Christ made it more plainly even here. He said, I am the way, the truth, and life. So if somebody tells you there's another way to get to heaven, or there's another way in order for you to have peace in this world, there's another way for you to do this or do that, there's only one way. And that's the way of the way through the Lord Jesus Christ. So I want to encourage each and every one of us. If you have trouble, if you're going through times of despair, we can know that we have a place that's being prepared for us, for you. Personally, for you. And you know what? There's some places, you know, for instance, I know that some people, they build places to give people an inheritance. And so there's some, you know, some other parents or some other people, and they build a house and they build it for their children to have inheritance. Or, you know, they have some kind of property. But they didn't build that for their kids, right? Most of the time they buy it as an investment and they pass it on to their kids. That's different, right? The Lord is preparing a special place for us personally, right? You know what I'm saying? It's built for us personally, and he's preparing that place. And that's a sign of love. A sign of love is that when somebody is taking time to prepare a place for you, or preparing it for you personally. And that's what I did too. And you know, if you invite somebody over your house that you care about, your family members or something for Christmas or not, you make it beautiful, right? And that's what you do, right? That's what you do when you know someone you love is coming over, right? You know what I'm saying? You know, I'd be very shocked if you come over and you have things hanging down and you don't really care about that person, right? Because you're like, well, they don't care what they think, you know? But that's not what the Lord Jesus Christ is doing. He's preparing a place for us so we can be encouraged from that. The next one is in John 17. And we read from verse 20. It says, I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they all may be one as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the Lord may believe, that the world may believe that you have sent me. And the glory which you gave me, I have given them, and that they may be one just as we are one. I in them and you in me, that they may be made perfect and one, that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. Father, I desire that they also whom you gave me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me, For thou hast loved me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world has not known you, but I have known you and have known that you sent me. And I have declared to them your name, and I will declare it that the love with that which you love me may be in them, and I in them. And this is the prayer of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the scripture that I wanted to hone on was 24, where he says, Father, desire that you, whom you gave me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou hast loved me before the foundation of the world. So the first stipulation that we read in Luke was that there's no stipulations on the Lord wanting to be with us, right? The only stipulation is that you have to accept him as your Lord and Savior. He loves us and he wants to be with us. Then we know that he's preparing a place for us. But now he's saying that he wants us to be with him, that we may behold his glory. And why is it important for us to behold his glory? And when I was reading this, I was like, well, why is that important? And what I got from this is that when we behold his glory, we will know more about his love for us, right? I mean, so what happens is that the Lord has glory. We know he has his essential glory that, you know, as who he is, as God, he has glory, right? But also he has his acquired glory, which was given to him, you know, was given to him on the cross, right? You know, what he won. And so that shows his love for us. That shows his love. And I think as we delve more into that glory, you know what I'm saying, you know, we will know more about his love for us. And that's what he wants us to know. He doesn't only want us to be with him, but he wants us to know how much he loves us. And the only way we can know how much he loves us is by seeing that glory. And that's what he wants us to do. He wants us to bask in his glory and to see how much he loves us, but also to know how much the Father loves us. Because the Father, you know, gave him that glory because of what he has done. And it's that through that glory that he expresses his love towards us. And so he wants us to see that glory. And that's why he's yearning for us to see that, because he wants us to bask more into his glory. If we read early up in the chapter, it also speaks about this is eternal life. In verse 2, it says, as you have given him authority over all flesh, that he should give eternal life as many as you have given him. And this is eternal life, that you may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. And this is what Lord Jesus Christ wants us to, in all eternity, he wants us to understand his love and know more about his love. But we can't, in human thoughts, in human eyes, we can't know more about his love until we see that glory. And that's what he's saying. He wants us to be with him so we may behold his glory that was given to him. And that's what his desire for us is. But I also like what he talks about, that right now in this present sphere, that he's with us in a way, but he wants to be with us in a more real way. Because he says, as we read, it says, and that they all may know, they all may be as one as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they may be also be one in us, that the world may know that you have sent me. And the glory which you have given me, I have given them, that they may be one just as we are one. And I in them, and you in me, that we may be perfect in one, that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. And so this is also our thing here in this present world, is for us to show forth Christ's love as we show to others. So people may see that, you know, that we enjoy that love. Just as the Apostle Paul in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 23, he says that he wanted to be with the Lord. He wanted to be with him. But as we live presently, are we also reciprocating that love? The Lord wants to be with us. He wants us to be with him, right? But do we want to be with him, right? Do the way we act, the way we talk, the way we live, we should desire to be with him. Imagine if you're doing all this thing because you love somebody, right? You're preparing your place for them. You're saying you want to be with them. You're saying you want to, you know, express more of their love towards them. And the person's like, I don't care. You know, it doesn't matter to me, right? They walk in your house. You prepare a nice place for them. They don't take off their shoes. They kick in the dirt all over your carpets and stuff. You can be like, whoa, this person doesn't really care, right? That's not how we're supposed to live. The way we should live is that, you know, we desire to be with the Lord also, right? And that's what the Apostle Paul was expressing. He said that's why it's so hard pressed for him, is that he wanted to be with the saints because, you know, he knew they needed him. But he said to be with the Lord is far better. And that's what should be our desire. That should be the thing that drives us, is that the Lord loves us so much. We don't deserve any of this. You know what I'm saying? We don't deserve to, you know, today you'll be with me in paradise. The criminal didn't deserve that. You know what I'm saying? He said he doesn't deserve it, right? To say that he's preparing a place for, why? The person who made all the universe, right? The person who created everything, the person who could, you know, raise somebody from the dead, could heal the sick, you know, died on the cross for me. And that's not, that would have been enough. But he went further and he's saying that he's preparing a mansion for me in his Father's house. You know what I'm saying? You know, that's somebody who loves you so much, right? And how should that be reciprocated? How should that be reciprocated to him? And that should also drive us as we think about it. But not only that, he's saying that I want them to know how much I love them. And they can't understand how much I love them with human thoughts. So I want them to be with me so they could behold my glory, so that they can understand more of what, how the Father loves them and how much I love them. And in here, in the end of this chapter, it says, O righteous Father, the world have not known you, but I have known you, and these have known that you sent me. And I have declared them your name, and I will declare that the love which you love me may be in them, and I in them. But also in verse 23, he says, I in them, and he says, the latter part, he says, to know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. And we all know that the Father loved the Son, right? The Lord Jesus Christ said it. We know how much he loved him because he has given him a place above, you know, every place. He has given him a name above every name. You know, the Father has loved the Son. We know how much he loves him because he opened up heaven and said, this is my beloved Son. So we know that the Father, how much the Father loves the Son. But the Lord Jesus Christ is saying that you have loved them as you have loved me. That's a precious thought. Because, you know, if the Father loved the Son so much, and the Lord Jesus Christ, who knows that love, is saying that he loves us the same way, that should change our behavior, that should change our attitude, that should change our thinking of how we live this life. And, you know, we should be on fire for the Lord. And knowing how much he loves us. But also I want to turn to one last in Acts chapter 7. Stephen is preaching, and I won't go into all the, maybe I just read from verse 51. And it says, you stiff-necked and uncircumcised in hearts and ears, you always resist the Holy Spirit as your fathers did, so do you. Which of the prophets did your fathers not persecute, and they killed those who foretold the coming of the just one, of whom you now have become the betrayers and murderers, who have received the law by the direction of angels and have not kept it? And when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed at him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God, and Jesus standing at the right hand of God, and said, look, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. And they cried out with a loud voice, stopping their ears, and ran on him with one accord. And they cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at the feet of a young man named Saul. And they stoned Stephen as he was calling on God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And they knelt down and cried out with a loud voice, Lord, do not charge them with this sin. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. And this is the answer, I believe, to what we just read. Because the Lord says that they may see my glory. And what did Stephen say? See. He says, but seeing, being full of the Holy, he gazed at him and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. But also, I believe that this is what you see, the anticipation, is that the Lord, I believe, was so excited to have his servant coming to be with him. The Lord Jesus is standing up. You know what I'm saying? We always think of the Lord Jesus Christ sitting down, the work that was finished, right? But we see him standing. It's almost the anticipation, I believe, that knowing that this person who was sold out for the Lord Jesus Christ, this is a person who loved the Lord Jesus Christ. Every time you look at Stephen, it says that he was full of the Holy Spirit. You know, it talked about that he was full of faith. He was, you know, full. He was full. Every time he was full of the Holy Spirit, he was always full of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we see him here at this moment being stoned to death, and his eyes were still looking into heaven, and he saw the glory of God and Jesus standing, legions with anticipation waiting for him. And he said, look, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. And what the people did, they stopped their ears. They didn't want to hear anything about that. And that's the world doesn't understand this type of love. The world won't understand, because the only way you can experience this type of love is by accepting the Lord Jesus Christ into your heart. The only way you can, why people are stoning you or doing their worst to you, that you could pray for them, that's not human, right? That's spiritual. That's divine. That's something that only could be done through the power of the Holy Spirit. If somebody is stoning me, I'm telling you, I'm going to run. I'm going to try to maybe duck. I might try to throw a stone back at them. You know what I'm saying? If I was acting from a human nature, right? You know what I'm saying? But this is a person who was looking into heaven, and he was looking at the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's something that we should look at, right? As we spend more time with the Lord, as we bask more into his love, it's going to change our attitude. It's going to change our behavior. The things that we react to, we won't react to. The things that should bother us, we won't bother us, because we're so focused on him in glory and his love. And that's what I want to encourage us today, is that let's enjoy the Lord Jesus Christ's love. Let's enjoy how much he wants to be with us. Let's enjoy that what he has done for us. Let's enjoy that there's no stipulations on us basking in that love only by accepting him. If there were stipulations, more stipulations on that love, not just believing in him, then many of us would fall short, right? You know what I'm saying? Because, you know, there's no way we could do this without the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I just want to encourage us with this last piece here, that as he was being stoned, it says that he says, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he says, do not lay this charge to them with this sin. And this is what the Lord Jesus Christ, almost what the Lord Jesus Christ said at the cross. And that's what I'm saying. As we spend more time with the Lord and we learn of his love, we'll be more like him. That's what in 2 Corinthians talked about. It says, as we look at him, it says we're changed from glory to glory. Is that our countenance changed, that our attitude changes, and we could be like Stephen. But also to remember is that every time a believer passes away or someone dies in the Lord, is that the Lord is anticipating that. The Lord it's a joy to the Lord's heart. I can see the Lord standing up and waiting to receive Stephen to him. And it was probably a joy to the Savior's heart, but also a joy for Stephen to see that the Lord was in anticipation waiting for him, and also to see that glory of God. I believe that glory of God is somewhat of his love also, right? And I want to believe that when Stephen saw that, he saw how much the Lord loved him. He saw how much the Lord anticipating him, and it gave him that energy to withstand or to endure what he was going through. And I think that's the only thing that can help us endure in this Christian life, is to looking at the Lord in glory, seeing what he's done for us, seeing how much he loves us and he wants to be with us, but also seeing how much he loves us. I think if we do those things, that we'll be able to endure. And that's why he says, let not your heart be troubled. That's why when he looked at these things, he said to the thief on the cross, I believe that was encouragement to him too. Because he knew the thief was suffering on the cross. You know what I'm saying? He said, today you will be with me in paradise. That's a thought that he could have moved his mind towards, right? Is that in that suffering, that present suffering the thief was going through, he could have thought, okay, yes, I'm going through suffering now, but today you will be with me in paradise. And that's the things that we are going through suffering in this present life. Every time you move in this life, right, you're going to go through pain, you're going to go through suffering, you're going to go through different trials. But, you know what I'm saying, we can always think on the Lord Jesus Christ. We can always think on him and saying that we have a home being prepared for us. There's no stipulations on us being with him. But he wants us to spend eternity knowing more about his love. And that's what I just want to encourage you guys with today.